Okay. So, Mirth Hashem, for the next 2 weeks, come on in, Sims Hosein Esbad. For the next 2 weeks, we'll be discussing Rav Amital's thoughts of tshuva. This is the sefer of Rav Amital's Shiurim on Tshuva. It's called Eight Ratzon. I don't know what it's called in English. There's an English version of this if you want to buy it or receive or borrow it. So let's get some of the timelines down because the timelines are a little bit murky, but understanding the timelines of Matan Torah and the Egel helps us get some of the a glimpse of how to proceed during Elul. So the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, and on Zayin Sivan, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the Aseret Dibros, Moshe ascends the mountain for the first 40-day period to receive the entirety of the Torah and the Luchas. Whatever the entirety of the Torah means, one volume, which is the Torah that will be giving out in stages. The Gemara is a Machlokas in Gittin. Was the Torah given all in one unit or is given in stages? Of course, during those 40 days, everything fell apart. Am Yisrael committed a terrible sin of the Egel, at which point Hashem told Moshe, 40 days after Zion Sivan, Lech Reit Kishichei Zamcha. What are 40 days after Zion Sivan? 30 plus 10. Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. So now Chivasar B'Tammuz, Moshe descends from Har Sinai, shatters the Luchos. The next day, he judges all the people that have to be judged, have to be indicted. And then he ascends now on Yud Ches, on Yud Tes Tammuz, to Davin to Hashem to intercede. This is the middle 40 period, which are the very, very torturous 40 days, where the future of the Jewish people is hanging in the balance. Moshe Davin, Zachar Le'Avram Nitzchak Le'Yaakov, Lama Yamlu Mitzrayim, all of a sudden we read about in Kitisa. So 40 days from Yud Tes Tammuz ends when? Yud Tes Tammuz, 40 days later, is now Chaf Tes Av. So now it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Moshe has finished his 40-day intercession tefillah. He can also stand here if he wants. And Hashem says, I have forgiven you. I've forgiven the Jewish people. You can go down. Not really Selachti Kidvarecha. That's in Parsha Shlach, but Selachti Kidvarecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives Am Yisrael. Now it's the day after Chav Tes Av, and Moshe ascends for the third time. What's the day after Chav Tes Av? Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's actually the first symbol, the first meaning of Rosh Chodesh Elul happens after we left Mitzrayim, 3 or 4 months later. Moshe ascends the mountain, Rosh Chodesh Elul, for 40 days of davening after Hashem has already apprised him he's forgiving the Jewish people. When do 40 days end if you start Rosh Chodesh Elul? Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, somehow the forgiveness that Moshe had achieved in that middle 40-day period is now solidified, is now reframed. It's more loving, less fearful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives them in total on Yom Kippur. And according to a Medrash, every day of those 40 days when Moshe was on the mountain, those last 40 days, they blew the shofar. And that's why the first earliest minute of blowing the shofar during Elul is because they blew the shofar, interestingly enough, during those third 40 days. So the first 40 days are from Yud Ches Tammuz till, I'm sorry, from Zayin Sivan till Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. The second 40 days is from Yud Tes Tammuz till Chav Tes Av. The last 40 days are from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. And during those last 40 days, even though they had already been forgiven, Moshe doesn't want any recidivism, so they blow the shofar to remind people to do tshuva, and that's where the shofar becomes a symbol of tshuva. Okay, those are the timelines. So if we look at what happened around Rosh Chodesh Elul before Moshe went up for those last 40 days, we can somehow sense how our own tshuva should proceed. What did Hashem give Moshe before he ascended the mountain? What did he tell Moshe in Rosh Chodesh Elul that first year that we can then take and apply to our own tshuva, to our own process? That's the setting. That's what Rav Amital would speak about every year around this time. It's not yet Rosh Hashanah, it's not Yom Kippur, it's not yet Slichos. That will come. But it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, and something happened at that juncture between Moshe's second 40-day period when he staved off elimination and the third 40-day period when he davened for something larger that we can then integrate and assimilate to our own tshuva. So Rav Amital spoke about two things. Number one, psalacha. Unlike the first luchos, which were scripted by Hashem and hand-delivered, michtav elokimu, charis ala luchos, divine tablets, maisa nisim, text that was held in some miraculous supernatural fashion, the second luchos, Hashem tells Moshe, psal lecha. What does psal lecha mean? Psal lecha means I want you to craft. Why does Moshe have to craft the second luchos? So evidently, part of the failure was the egel, was feebleness. Moshe's gone. Who's going to intercede? We're so frightened. And now that it's after that debacle and the recovery from the debacle, Hashem says, I have to empower you more than I did in the past. You, Moshe, as a leader, and the people now individually. You have to realize it's your responsibility to live up to the expectations of our Sinai. You don't need an intermediary between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't have Moshe, let's go craft an Egel Azav. Hashem is creating more of individual responsibility through this prism of telling Moshe, I want you to script the luchos. Psalacha is a statement to Moshe, but it's really a broadcast to every single Jew. Psalacha. Responsibility for religion is squarely on you. When the Rambam describes Hilchas Tshuva, he doesn't see Tshuva just as a isolated recovery from chet once in a while during the season of Tshuva. Tshuva for the Rambam is a manifesto of Bechira Chafshis. This is why the Rambam has 10 prakim for Hilchas Tshuva, and in Parakeh, famous Rambam, every single person has unlimited Bechira Chafshis. Every single one of you could have been Moshe Rabbeinu, including me. Of course, we can no longer because we lost that potential. And whatever you do in life is squarely upon your shoulders. There's no predeterminism. There's no genetic predispositions. You can overcome them. You have certain traits. You can overcome them. You have certain socioeconomic, cultural limitations. You can overcome them. But whatever you choose in life is solely based on your decisions. Rishus nesuna l'chol adam l'yot tzadik k'moshe Rabbeinu. But that carries consequences. Freedom always carries consequences. Prisoners have a hard time adjusting to life outside of prison because they have no consequences. Their meals are provided for them. Their safety is provided for them. Their decisions are made for them. The price for freedom is consequence. You can't live free without implications. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to shift the mentality of this young nation so dependent upon miracle doers and sea splitters and lawgivers and staff holders like Moshe Psalacha. You're now shifting into a new period. You don't need intermediaries, but there are consequences to your decisions. And this may, and the first time, we'll just chalk it up to just beginner's failure, the first egel. But now it's going to become a little bit more serious. When the Rambam speaks about tshuva, he writes in that section I mentioned before a little bit earlier, Perek Gimel, just quoting one line, Halacha Dalet, Lefikach tzarech adam shiras atzmo kol hashana kula ki lo chetzia zakai v'chetzia chayef. To see your life as always hanging in the balance, and the next mitzvah will change your profile. But also, v'chein kol ha'olam chetzio zakeh v'chetzio chayif. Chata chet achad arechuyas asom v'skolom kula kaf chova. The whole world is dependent upon the next mitzvah you do. What's more important? Political demonstrations, elections, large global issues that grab headlines? Or whether you'll come to Shir at 8:30 and discover some new knowledge of Hashem through his Torah, or David Hashem, or perform at Sakura Chesed, there's a mirage. The world convinces you that it's really politics and headlines that shape the world's future. But it could be the very next mitzvah, or Chas V'Shalom Aver, you commit, that could have global implications. That could decide whether people die in Hawaii, Chas V'Shalom, or don't. Now, obviously, it's a larger algorithm than that. But Rav Amital would speak to us during Elul about shrinking the equation. And not just thinking because, you see, let's say we weren't involved in politics. Let's say we took a more of a Haredi approach. And the only thing that mattered is what happened in this room. So it'd be a more one-dimensional experience. If you learn, the world will advance. If you don't learn, the world will suffer. And everything is resting on your shoulders. And people that dedicate their lives to that really try to live, those who are dedicated to that life, to that ethos, to that approach. My Torah is bring Hashem into this world. The more Hashem's presence is felt in this world, the greater prosperity human beings will experience. And I certainly believe that as well. But in our world, in our culture, we're also involved in the bigger picture, in the grander scheme, and the larger equation of army, and politics, and culture, and we worry about science and global warming, and we worry about AI. But not during this season. During this season is a time salacha. To take that entire broad fabric of human affairs and say it may just be dependent upon how successful my tshuva is. Because the Jews were a little too involved in that broad Mitzrayim narrative of splitting the sea and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Hashem said psalacha. Shrink, narrow, focus, empowerment, responsibility. It's very scary. I'm sure there are a lot of things frightening you this week. A lot of them are very visceral, homesickness and food and sleep. But a lot of them are, you're now segueing into the era of freedom of choice. Until now, your freedom of choice was somewhat limited because your parents dictated and your schools and your community dictated more or less the overall framework and the overall trajectory of your life. Within that, you had a little bit of wiggle room to join the basketball team and to join the drama society, to go to this camp or go to that camp. Big difference, right? Now you're starting to script your future. Now everything's been thrown out, and now you have to decide who you'll be. That's exciting. You should be excited about that. I wish I could switch places with you. I yearn for that time of self-sculpting and identity building, but it carries consequences. And maturity is the ability to balance and to calibrate between freedom and responsibility. And you'll see in yeshiva, you'll have a lot more freedom than you had in high school, a lot more freedom. Always make sure that whenever you experience freedom, you always locate, well, there are implications to the freedom. It's very intoxicating to taste freedom. But if freedom doesn't come with implications, then it becomes corrosive. Have a great day, everyone.